Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwool, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs 21:23 says, "The one who keeps watch over his mouth and his tongue watches over his life from trouble." Here we see that both lines of the proverb flow together to complete a single thought. This type of parallelism is known as formal parallelism. The proverb begins with the metaphor of keeping watch over one's mouth and tongue. The metaphor of keeping watch over is very common in the book of Proverbs and often deals with keeping watch over one's road, life, and speech. The Hebrew word translated keeps watch over can also mean to guard, protect, or take care of. In the biblical culture, the imagery that the proverb is likely drawing upon is that of a sentinel on duty, monitoring the city gate to prevent any unauthorized person from entering. However, the proverb is using this imagery in reverse to depict guarding the actions of a person's mouth and tongue. Thus, the point is not what is being prevented from getting in, but preventing what shouldn't be allowed to get out. Keeping watch over one's mouth means to be keenly aware of and cautious about what one allows to pass out of their mouth through the words they speak. To express it in terms of the metaphor just mentioned, it means to be deliberate about what words are permitted to pass through the figurative gate of your mouth. This brings up the need to make a point about the words mouth and tongue. These are metonymies representing the words that are produced using these faculties. They refer to the act of speaking, as this is one of the primary functions of the mouth and tongue. Thus, the proverb is stressing the importance of taking care to watch the words that are produced by our mouth and tongue. In another related proverb, Proverbs 13, verse 3, it says, "The one who guards his mouth watches over his life. Destruction will come to the one who opens his lips wide." The phrase "opens his lips wide" uses the metonymy lips in place of mouth or tongue and draws upon a similar metaphor as in 21, verse 3. It depicts the imagery of an unpatrolled city gate with its doors wide open, giving free passage to any and all travelers in and out of the city, unchecked and unmonitored. Such an absence of security will surely result in the city's destruction. Another point I think that is important to make is the figurative use of both mouth and tongue is redundant. The proverb could have easily said, "the one who keeps watch over his mouth," and that would have been entirely sufficient. Or could have read, "the one who keeps watch over his tongue," and that also would have been sufficient as well. So why does the proverb use both mouth and tongue? Well, most likely this double metonymy is meant to be highly emphatic, signifying the absolute necessity of guarding one's speech. In Hebrew poetry, repetition is usually used to heighten the attention of the reader. Thus, the proverb is really trying to draw our attention to focus on the act of speaking. To keep watch over or guard what we say means to be conscientious of the words we are using and how we are using them. Right speaking is done with the right words, in the right manner, and at the right time. This is an essential part of wisdom. Being cautious about what we say doesn't mean that we tiptoe around, afraid to actually say what we really mean, but rather we are to express our thoughts honestly and courageously with love, consideration, and kindness. There is a proper and appropriate way to communicate, and there is an improper and inappropriate way. The proper and appropriate way is employing godly wisdom, which urges us to speak with patience, gentleness, and self-control. Wisdom doesn't permit the blurting out of whatever comes to our minds. Wisdom doesn't give us freedom of speech. As this proverb indicates, to speak with wisdom means to curtail and censor what we say in order to prevent ourselves from falling into trouble. We are to examine our words before we say them so as to not allow inappropriate communication to proceed out of our mouth. Instead of being like the fool that spouts off every opinion whenever they feel like it and telling people whatever they really think using crass and offensive language because they believe to do otherwise would be disingenuous, the wise instead temper their words, crafting them with grace and discernment in their heart. And thus, by doing this, the wise will escape the distress that is caused by using careless words. Words are not harmless little things. They are very powerful, and if used wrongly, they can be extremely destructive. The common saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is absurd. What nonsense! Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words have the power of producing death or life. They are not trivial little entities that don't require much thought as to how to properly use them. In fact, we could say words are among one of the most powerful entities, and if used wrongly, they can be extremely destructive. Words can break our hearts and break our spirits as fast as they can be uttered. We can slay the confidence and self-esteem of someone in seconds with our words. We can debilitate and cause severe anxiety and fear to rise up and overwhelm someone with just a few enunciated syllables. Proverbs 10:19 says, "By an abundance of words, transgression will not cease, but the one who restrains his lips is insightful." What this proverb means is that if we just ramble on and are not careful to moderate what we speak and how much we speak, we are likely to find ourselves saying something we shouldn't and falling into sin. That is why the wise person restrains his lips in order to choose carefully the words he will speak. Regarding the immense power of the tongue, the Apostle James writes in his letter in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, saying, "So also the tongue is a small member, and yet it boasts great things. Look how small a fire sets ablaze such a large forest, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, appoints itself among the members of our body, staining the whole body and setting on fire the course of life, and is being set on fire by Gehenna." What James is saying is that the tongue can be a deadly force of no small proportion. There is so much destruction that it can cause. And that is why it is imperative for the wise person to control their tongue and keep watch over it so that it doesn't produce a world of unrighteousness. So now the question comes, how do we keep watch over our words? In a sermon entitled Think Before You Speak, Pastor Larry Wilson offers an insightful acronym for the word THINK to help develop a good practice for watching over our mouth and what we say. The T stands for TRUE. Are our words true, or are we spreading gossip? We want our words to contain truth, not lies. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to Yahweh." A good criterion to gauge whether we are watching over what we say is to ask ourselves if we would mind if someone quoted us on what we are about to say. If the answer is yes, we would mind, then we should guard against letting those words slip out of our mouth. H is for helpful. Are our words helpful? Will they bring about a solution to a problem or assist the listener in some way? Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one who speaks recklessly, like the stabbings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is healing." If our words are not going to help, then they are likely going to hurt. There is rarely a neutral ground. I is for inspiring. Are our words inspiring? Do they lift other people up? Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt talk proceed out of your mouth, but only what is good for edifying according to the need, so that it gives grace to those who hear." We want our words to build other people up, not tear them down. If our words are not going to have a positive effect upon the listener, we should refrain from saying them. N is for necessary. Are our words necessary? Do we need to say anything at all? If we doubt whether our words are really necessary, we should think twice before speaking. Proverbs 25:11 says, "Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken at the proper moment." Before we speak, we should ask ourselves, do I feel the need to speak because of my selfish desire to be recognized and gain the approval of others? Or do I truly believe that my words will serve the other person and their needs? And last, K is for kind. Are our words kind? Do we speak with gentleness that is healing or with harsh words that can cut? Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." The world is filled with hate. Our words need to be filled with kindness. If what we are about to say could be taken as boorish or unkind, then it is best to keep our mouths shut and throw those words in the garbage. Many times, however, it's hard to know or predict how someone is going to receive our words. In addressing the misalignment that often happens between what we mean when we say something and what the other person hears, Linda Hill, professor of business administration at Harvard Business School, says, "It doesn't matter if your intent is honorable, if your impact is not. Most people are very aware of what they mean to say, but are less tuned into what the other person heard or how they interpreted it. A big part of watching over what we say is not just thinking about ourselves and words we think would be all right to say, but rather considering the other person and how they might perceive the words. Moreover, I think it might be beneficial to consider ways that our words can get us into trouble." Author and speaker Sharla Fritz shared on her website the top 10 ways that her mouth often gets her into trouble. As I read through these, think about whether any of them resonate with your life experience. Number 1, always talk, never listen. Number 2, interrupt when you have something to say. Number 3, complain loudly about anything and everything. Number 4, talk endlessly about myself, my kids, my grandkids. Number 5, be sure that everyone knows about my friend's embarrassing situation. Number 6, speak before I think. Number 7, let my mouth run on automatic when I'm angry. Number 8, make jokes about my spouse. Number 9, nag, nag, and nag. And last, number 10, assume I can control my tongue on my own without God's help. Have any of these ever been a reason that your mouth got you into trouble? I personally can relate to quite a few of them. As we come to the end of the episode, I'd like to share with you a brief story about how not watching over your mouth can get you into trouble real quick. Mike Jeffries is the man behind the American clothing brand company, Abercrombie & Fitch. I might also refer to them as A&F here. After becoming the CEO in 1992, Jeffries took the struggling company to new heights by turning it into a multi-billion dollar company. In 2006, A&F was valued at $5 billion, and in 2014, the company had revenues approaching $2 billion a year, rolling in from more than 800 stores across four successful brands. A&F's earnings have increased for 52 straight quarters. That's 13 years, excluding a one-time charge in 2004. To me, says AG Edwards analyst Robert Buchanan, it's the most amazing record that exists in U.S. retailing, period. In 2006, in an interview with Salon magazine, Jeffries explained that the company deliberately excluded plus-size women from its clothing line and retail employee personnel because it did not want to appeal to everyone. Abercrombie & Fitch did not stock extra-large or extra-extra-large sizes in women's clothing, even though its competitors like H&M did. In explaining this exclusion in their company branding and manufacturing, Jeffries didn't keep watch over his mouth and wrecked the Abercrombie & Fitch brand name in a matter of seconds. As far as Jeffrey is concerned, America's unattractive, overweight, or otherwise undesirable teens can shop elsewhere. In the interview, Jeffries stated, "In every school, there are the cool and popular kids, and then there are the not-so-cool kids," he says. "Candidly, we go after the cool kids. We go after the attractive, all-American kid with a great attitude and a lot of friends. A lot of people don't belong in our clothes, and they can't belong. Are we exclusionary? Absolutely. Those companies that are in trouble are trying to target everybody, young, old, fat, skinny. But then you become totally vanilla. You don't alienate anybody, but you don't excite anybody either." Whether Jeffries was consciously intending to be pointed and harsh or not, nonetheless, his statements were explicitly rude, prejudiced, and offensive. In one fell swoop, he stuffed his foot so far down his throat that it was unmistakable what his views were toward overweight and unattractive individuals. These uncensored words of his produced an enormous amount of trouble for him and the company, eventually forcing them to add larger sizes to all their clothing lines in response to the constant pressure and criticism to Jeffries' comments. It might be something as casual as a simple off-the-cuff remark, or perhaps an official statement representing a company or organization. The wisdom of this proverb is that we should always weigh our words before we speak. As small and harmless as some might think words to be, caring little for whether they use them properly or not, they are more powerful and impacting than we often realize. We must become wise and handle our words with care, keeping watch over what we allow to pass through our lips. In this way, we will watch over our life from trouble.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.